Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first down the pass, leaps his tight end.
And Raja Bell.
Bell has done something. 22 for Raja.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Raja Bell. Big show lined up for you today. We're going to recap the national championship game the other day, which Villanova looked pretty dominant. We'll do some Masters picks and props. It's Masters week. One of my favorite weeks of the year. Just get comfy on the couch. The Patriots are wheeling and dealing. Who knows what it means? And how big is the beef between Nick Saban and LeBron? We're going to get to that. I have a question
first. Wait, what are you talking about?
Well, we're going to get to that. All right. All right. That'll be a little bit later in the pod. I have a question, a gym etiquette question, okay?
All right.
Because I have a gym that I work out, and it's in my neighborhood, so it's, you know, it has a nice locker room. You go in there. Now, all the lockers have locks on them, right?
Right.
Now, when you walk in the entrance, you can grab a key, and you can lock up your stuff if you want to, right?
Sure.
So I'm always like, we live in a pretty nice neighborhood. Like the average person working out is like a 70-year-old white dude. Like that's pretty much the clientele that's at the gym I work out. So
okay.
I'm like, that's all right. So the other day I go in, put all my stuff in there, no, just leave it unlocked, go work out, come back, and it's locked. And I'm like, wait a second, I didn't lock it. And I'm kind of like, what do? I was in a towel, like I'd gotten undressed, take a shower, and like I can't really go look at the keys they keep outside. So I go outside and I ask the guy, I'm like, hey, I'm like, my locker's locked. He's like, oh yeah, see that guy over there? He's like, he locked it. And I'm like, why? And he's like, oh, and he's like, they did it to spite you.
Why?
He said, cause you took a locker and didn't lock it. And so he basically screwed me over. Like he could have, like, I was in there looking for him in my towel.
So you didn't have like a key to unlock it?
No. Like, so I had to go find it from the guy. Like, he did it just to spite me, which is basically what I'm upset about. But who's in the wrong? Am I in the wrong for not locking? Or is this guy who locked my stuff up so I couldn't get it?
No, nobody should touch anyone's stuff
exactly.
In a gym.
Were there more lockers available?
Oh, there's 100. There are 100 lockers in there.
And it's not like he said, I want locker number 30. I'm taking Danny's stuff out of locker 30.
No.
He just locked your stuff in locker.
He went to go in and saw my stuff in there, and it was in there. And so he locked it and gave the key.
You sure he wasn't a Gators fan?
I'm pretty sure.
Wait, no. What if he was like looking out for you? Like, what if he was like, oh, there's some nice stuff in here. Let me lock this for this guy.
He was an older guy.
Just tell me what
he was an older guy, but the kid that works there is like, this guy did it because he's mad at you. Basically, it was because he thought I wronged like somebody.
So he was an old grump.
Pretty much.
You know what? Leave your stuff just like out on the floor next time. Like leave it right in front of find his treadmill.
No, we can't stop now because I need to know. I really do need to know what the interaction was when you said, what did you do? Did you?
Oh, I went and got my stuff and left. I didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything?
No, because he handed the key back to the kid and then he was over there working out. Like he was getting his.
So next time that happens, like do anything that you shouldn't do. Like change the channel on his TV. Like do stuff like that.
I'm going to really break the rules.
You need to act a fool when somebody.
So I think I'm in the right here. All right.
You want ignorant? I got ignorant. You want to do that? We can do that.
All right. So Raja's been on fire through college basketball, right? He's been doing pretty well. He was 2-0 in the Final Four, and he predicted a big Villanova win the other night. But this was pretty impressive. Like, as you think about now that we have it a day kind of to sit back and just kind of recap, how impressive was it? What Jay Wright has done with this Villanova program, what Dante DiVincenzo did coming off the bench, dropping 31 points. Like, what was your kind of final synopsis for the championship game?
If I'm being honest,
other than it wasn't much fun to watch.
No, if I'm being honest, my initial thought was college basketball had a down year. And I know that in saying that it takes something away from Villanova. I don't mean to. I think Villanova, what they do offensively is fantastic. But it left me feeling like it was a down year for college basketball. That team is really good. But I don't know that they've got any great players on it. It probably speaks more to how good of a team they actually are and what Jay Wright is able to get out of the pieces that he has. I mean, he's only ever had 2 5-star recruits, you know, and Jalen Brunson and Spellman. It's pretty remarkable to be able to do what he's done as a coach, what the program has done as a program over the last, you know, a decade almost now,
mm-hmm.
without the infusion of those type of players. But that was my initial thought, was like, college basketball, I thought, had a semi-down year. But what they do offensively is remarkable. It's cutting edge in terms of NCAA, stylistically speaking. Like, NCAA teams don't play like that. They're mired in like grind you out. You know, I guess the number one team in the country at the end of the year, like Virginia. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I think of when I think of NCAA college basketball and the way they want to play. And I think that he's shifting that a bit.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for him to go 2 out of 3 of the last, you know, national championships, to have the success he's had, their worst season the last 5 years ago was 5 years ago when they had 29 wins. I think there's no question about it that Jay Wright is a top 5 basketball coach.
Yep.
I think their program is a top 5 program now. And I think now it kind of, it'll be interesting to watch as he has access to more 5-star, quote, one and done type players. Does he turn a guy away? Does he say, you know what? We have a system in place here. I don't think you do. I think you take that guy and you try to. But here's the tricky thing. If you run the system, you're wasting a scholarship spot for a year. You could be developing somebody like the next DiVincenzo. Instead, you're getting the guy, you're trying to force him into the system. Maybe he's a little bit green, doesn't know what's going on. And then he bounces after he's gone a year.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's an interesting question because I hadn't thought of this, but it does register in my mind when I hear like Dante DiVincenzo is a redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, he redshirted.
He's got a few redshirt players on that team, right? Is this does he redshirt them on purpose? Is this
DiVincenzo was hurt, so it was a medical redshirt his freshman season.
Got it. All right. So this I thought that was his formula where he'd bring guys in, redshirt them, indoctrinate them into what he wanted to do, raise them a little bit, teach them, and then drop them in as essentially sophomores.
Right.
You know, they do that in football a lot. You don't see it in basketball. You see it hardly ever in basketball. But it's a great question, Danny. I would say that if you get your hand on 5-star players, and maybe you don't take the one and done 5-star because not every 5-star guy is a projected one and done lottery pick. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are 2-year guys, you know, and some of them, you know, and, you know, they need a little polish and in 2 years, they're probably going to bounce. I don't think that you can pass those up, on a large scale. You might pass up on the one that you're sure is leaving next year, but overall you got to take better talent if you can get
absolutely every single time. I had a thought this morning and it was really just a passing thought, but Debo, he gave me the eye, like the death stare when I floated this out there. Cause I don't think it's that crazy. I don't think Jay Wright leaves for any other college basketball job. Maybe Duke if Coach K retired, but even then I think he's pretty happy where he is.
Yeah.
His wife went there. It's his hometown. He loves it there, but I think there's one place he would consider leaving. The Sixers, like to jump to the NBA. Now, Debo stared at me and said, if they get rid of Brett Brown, they're crazy. That would be an awful move. I just floated it out there because if you're looking at making a change, it's really the only change you would make if you're the Sixers. And I think his style works. Like, I think him getting guys to buy into the team concept works, and I would love to see him try it because I think he'd be more of a mind, attitude, positive guy.
Sure.
More lines like Phil Jackson that as opposed to a guy that's going to come in there hardcore, over-the-top ego and just try to bulldoze his way through.
Yeah, the guys who don't work in the NBA come from college are those rule with an iron fist, my way or the highway type of personalities. You can get away with some of that stuff in college. Kids don't have the flexibility to get out and go somewhere else, you know? So that doesn't usually translate into the NBA. It's why Brad Stevens is so good, because he's just a player's coach. He's a guy's guy, you know? He's the locker room guy. Jay strikes me as that guy. I mean, I never played for Jay, but I do think that he would be built to succeed at the NBA level, both with the way he plays the game and what he tries to do offensively and defensively and, you know, with his approach mentally to the game. I think Brett Brown is a really, really, really good coach.
Yeah. So there's no need to make the change.
There's no need to
go for the home
but
run.
Here's what I will say. I applaud the Sixers for giving him this much of a leash because there were some really lean years there. And probably in fairness to him, they told him up front, hey, look, we're not going to give you much to work with, so we're going to ride with you. We're going to get you the talent. And only then are we going to be able to evaluate, you know, what you can really do as a coach. And I think he's doing good with that. I don't know how much time he's got, though. Like, if they don't win in the next 2 years and keep the trajectory going, you could see a move there, at which point, yeah, I think that.
Right, he's right in your backyard if he doesn't want to go anywhere else. And I think that's one of the only places he would leave.
But I think there's a mutual respect level from everything I've heard. I don't know that Jay Wright necessarily. It doesn't mean that when push comes to shove, he wouldn't take that damn job.
Right.
But I know that he wouldn't want to take it because I think he and Brett have a really good – you know, respect level for each other. They're right there in the same town.
Do you think more people will try to implement what they do offensively? Because everything seems
in college
to be
basketball.
Copycat. Yeah.
Well.
Oh, do you think? I also had a question too.
Yeah.
Do you think they should move back to the 3-point line?
Yeah, I do. I think that for a lot of reasons. I mean, guys are pulling up.
Would you go full NBA or would you put it somewhere in the middle?
You could put it somewhere in the middle.
Experimented in the NIT with a deeper line and it seemed to work. The averages were about the same.
Look, these kids, my 10-year-old, I mean, he's not a phenomenal shooter by by like NBA standards or even by probably 10-year-old standards. He's more drive to the basket. But if we work out in the backyard, he could shoot the ball from 2 feet behind the high school 3-point line. No problem.
Right.
You know, so like those kids are fully, right. you know, prepared physically now to shoot the ball. The line's been in existence long enough. Moving it back 2 feet, a foot and a half, not a big deal. I think that you see, you know, Jay gets the credit because his team won, but we had one of the guys on here, Dan D'Antoni. They run a wide open style, mm-hmm. a lot of freedom offensively. You know, first open shot is a good shot. So their guys are going to do it, but there's a whole like contingency of these old school. This is the way the game is played.
Yeah.
You got to beat them up inside, points in the paint. We don't shoot early threes. Like there are a whole lot of those guys that have been born and raised on that, that aren't changing.
Right.
They're not. So yeah, some people will try to shift. And now what, you know, if you're one of these guys that's adjusting with the times and you're a great recruiter, I mean, you should be shifting it because that's what kids want to play in. Kids want to get up and down. They want to play in a system that gives them the best chance to be a pro.
Yeah.
That gives them the most chance to have fun. And that type of system is way more fun than playing in a grind you out, set a screen, set another screen, re-screen. Right. Like people want to get up and down and shoot the ball.
Right. All right. So the national champion was determined. There was also other major college basketball news. FIU. Making a coaching
don't
change.
Don't get me started. Well, hey, Pete.
I'm
listen,
curious
Pete
to hear
Garcia. Now, I'm right up the street, baby.
No. Hold on. We can't lose you off Cannell and Bell, the podcast.
Right up the street. I was
wondering if you were even going to be here today.
I'm moonlight. No. Right. Yeah. I mean,
I saw a lot of like Twitter like rumors about Rick Pitino. Like, hey, yeah, why not go after him? You know,
I think that's Rick Pitino's. I think that's Rick Pitino's camp. Like that Louisville, Kentucky, blue blood, if you will, bread is really long. Like,
yeah.
They I don't support the Rick Pitino thing. I don't know that FIU, where they are as a program, I don't know that they can afford to deal with any type of other. I mean, I get it. I get it. Like, part of me would love to see it because he is a great coach mm-hmm. and FIU deserves someone that's really invested in trying to turn that program around. The problem with it, the FIU job, and I'll say it on air because I've said it to the athletic director. You get two kind of coaches to come there. You get one that's really good, i.e. Rick Pitino Jr. Mm-hmm. Really good, too good for FIU. So your job is only ever going to be a stepping stone for that guy to get to the next job. Leaves you in a really weird place. You use him for 2 years. He helps you build the program a little bit, and then he bounces on you because he wants to be a top 25 coach. The other ones are the ones that have been there the last couple of years. They show you that they're just not able to do the job, and then you got to go out and find another coach. Mm-hmm. So it's a tough job because you are not a place. You're not a desirable place. And that's Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino would use FIU to get him going to rehab his image, and then he's bouncing on you.
Yep.
Which is why I think you have to find someone local. And I've made this pitch to Rick, to Pete before. You need to find you someone who's from the area, who will recruit the area, who wants to make FIU a la Dan D'Antoni look more like West Virginia, if you will, look more like South Florida, and that wants to be there for a while. And until they get that right, they're not going to have success at that program.
Yo, Pete, come get your boy.
There are plenty of guys, though. There are plenty of guys that have been on Rick Pitino's staff. Mike Bellotto, I think he's at Arkansas State now. He was raised in the Pitino school. He coached with Rick Jr. at FIU. He's a Columbus guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wouldn't come back to FIU now. I can't call the other names of guys like him.
Right.
But there are plenty of those guys that are out there that would want to come home and help the program, you know?
All right. We have big news from our Cannell and Bell bracket. Aaron Walter was our winner. Congrats. Dominated the competition. He picked Nova over Michigan. He also nailed the exact score.
He got the score
total.
Right?
The total score.
Yeah, so he didn't know. That's fantastic.
141.
That was pretty impressive right there.
Does he get a prize? We got something for him?
We'll get something for him.
Yeah, we'll get him some swag once we get some swag up. Raja had a strong performance. Debo was good. Hannah was there, and I did all right, too. Should we move on?
All right. just to say how Danny did do.
Yeah, he did all right.
He decided to submit two brackets.
Oh, sure.
I didn't know we had that.
I
didn't know we had that option. Right. Danny, the only one to submit two brackets. Those two brackets were two of the worst three, including the very worst on the entire challenge.
Hold on, there was a name below me. There was a name below me
that didn't fill out a bracket.
How do you know it wasn't one of my daughters or both my daughters?
You can't blame your failures on your daughters.
All right, let's keep it moving.
Here's what's happening with Hannah.
Raja, I stepped all over it. I'm sorry. No, you're so good. All right, Kevin Durant back in Oklahoma City might not carry the same anger or bitterness as last season, but it's always an entertaining matchup when the Dubs meet the Thunder. Tuesday, it was Golden State clinging on to a 111-107 victory, backed by 34-10 from KD. Russell Westbrook put up 44 points and 16 rebounds in the losing effort. OKC now six in the ever-changing Western Conference playoff picture.
It's just that Western Conference playoff picture without Steph Curry. If they're without Steph Curry through two rounds, let's say, it's a minefield. I mean, it is, because any of those teams that get through the first round, in my estimation, are fully capable of taking Golden State to seven without Steph. And if you get to seven, anything can happen. Like, that's way too much basketball for a Golden State team that's been to the last three finals and considers themselves the favorite. So it just, Golden State's really good. They don't have Steph through two rounds. They're in trouble.
Last night, an indicator while still having the third best record in the East, the Cavaliers still favored over first place Raptors to get to the NBA Finals. Cleveland 112, Toronto 106, as LeBron passed Kobe Bryant for career 20-point games with 942.
Every year I watch and I'm like looking for another team that's going to knock off the Cavs. And every year I look, I'm like, I'm not buying any one of them. I'm not going against LeBron until he shows me otherwise. Hey, why would you?
I do. That's so tough because Toronto is a better team.
Right.
But when you go up against that man, like, that's great. It's crazy.
All right. I have a serious bone to pick with this next story. The Bronx wasn't filled with baseball bombs by Giancarlo Stanton yesterday, but rather booze. Stanton hit two homers in his Yanks debut last week, but went 0-5 with five strikeouts in his home debut last night. The reigning NL MVP said, quote, "You put up a performance like that, you should get some booze." The Yankees still won 11-4 against the Rays, and they're back today at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Hannah was surprised they were booing in the Bronx.
I think it's absolute garbage.
I think that's a little, I mean, I know that they'll boo, but I think that's a little early to boo.
5Ks is really bad. They're going to let you hear it. And I'm not saying they're, I'm just saying,
it is a long
I'm surprised
season.
You're surprised.
You think that was like a jokey boo, or you think that was a like,
you get the jokey clap if you would have got a hit your fifth at bat.
Wow.
Like, what are you doing, Yankees? Why are you trying to get in this guy's head? You guys just got him.
I know, that's,
and you're
I think
booing
it's ridiculous.
Him?
But
it is ridiculous, but I don't think it's surprising.
He says afterwards, you put up a performance like that, you should get some booze.
He handled it well.
No, that's him.
He handled it great.
No, he did, because if he comes out and he's like, yo, have some patience, like, you can't do that. You just got to say, yeah, I deserved it, and keep it moving.
Right, but still, you could tell he's hurting a little.
Absolutely
with a comment like
he
that.
Would be. He would be, for
he
sure.
He was pressing.
Like, but don't you think, like, and this is kind of, and I was on some good and some bad teams, but I think a lot of players kind of have a weird relationship with their fans, because in the back of your head, you know they're only cheering if you win or you play well.
Of course.
And if you've been through those times when you get booed, when you do get cheered, you're like, yeah, you're the same people that were booing me. Exactly. Like, that's kind of
true.
And there's a lot of players. Like, every time I hear a player say, we have the best fans in the world, I know there was a time when that player was looking up, like, getting booed by those fans and, like, screw you guys.
But so,
like,
there's part of me that, like, those fans, like, you need to do some homework. Like, he will strike out a lot.
Right. Yes. Right.
Come on.
And, like, look at him with the Marlins. I mean, he just had a really good season last year. But other than that, like, injuries have hurt him. I just think that this guy has been through a lot. You finally have him at Yankee Stadium. This is what everyone wants. Yeah. And then you boo him.
Like, call him
out
there, okay? Chill out a little bit.
Yes.
But how about you got the other guy who strike out? Like, he might turn around and...
Yeah, have
Aaron Judge will strike out.
Judge?
I'm sure they have at some point. That's their fans.
You know, all I'm going to say is Marlins fans wouldn't boo him. That's all I'm going to say.
Claws out
there
for
there wouldn't
Giancarlo,
be any Marlins
baby.
Fans there.
You're right. It'd be me and my family, and we'd be like, woo, next time. Okay. So Shohei Ohtani didn't go super deep in his first major league start, but tossed a solid six innings, earning a win. Tuesday, he truly went deep for the first time as a major leaguer, knocking a first inning homer off of the Indians' Josh Tomlin en route to a 13-2 Angels victory and 3-4 outing from the plate by the rookie. As tradition states, Ohtani received the silent treatment upon returning to the dugout.
I love it. Ohtani's showing me something. Like, he's going out there. He's doing both. I hope he continues his success, because there were a lot of naysayers, a lot of old school baseball people saying, no, he'll never be able to do it. Keep breaking and keep doing it.
Do you think if he experiences like a certain level of success, I mean, because there's got to be a level to which he reaches.
Yeah.
Do you think you will see more people allowed
to do
this?
I don't know though. You have
your
be
gut.
A phenom.
Like, what's your gut? Like,
there's
a kid out in Cali, I think, that I read about. That's like a
both two-way player. Yeah. Doesn't want to give it up.
Yeah, but I mean, they're going to make him probably a pitcher. But
right.
The point is, will they start to allow some of these guys to try?
I hope so, man. Because I think it'd be so much better for baseball.
Yeah.
I want to hear y'all's opinion on this one. The fight is off. Canelo Alvarez has withdrawn from his highly anticipated rematch with Triple G. Alvarez currently under suspension for 2 doping violations, which factored into the decision to back out of the scheduled May 5th bout.
Why do I, like, yeah.
It's not surprising.
I'm saying, like, what? At first, I don't care. Like, I mean.
You're not a boxing fan?
I mean, I am. I wanted to see the fight. I thought Triple G got robbed in the first fight.
Yeah.
I just assumed that, like, most of those guys were on something. Like,
right. They would just sign a waiver and be like, yeah, we're
let's
cool
go.
With it.
Let's go make, what, $100 million exactly. And get this fight going. But what did he try to say the first time? I thought that was funny. The meat in Mexico is,
yeah.
How about you don't do training camp in Mexico then?
Exactly.
How about that?
Right.
All right, lastly, guys, Champions League quarterfinals yesterday as Real Madrid cruised to a 3-0 win against Juventus in the first leg. But it was the leg and bicycle kick effort that had to leave you impressed. Right, Danny?
Oh, for sure. Ronaldo, one of the best in the world. That's my soccer breakdown. All right. It is my favorite time of the week because I'll spend a lot of time on the couch.
Okay.
Watching a little golf.
Yeah, baby.
It is Masters week. It's always that first time in the sign of spring. You get the azaleas out in the course. And guess what? Tiger is back, baby. Now, I have actually, I think it's pinned as my profile still on Twitter, that Tiger's going to win the Masters. And I felt a lot better about it when I put it out 3 or 4 weeks ago than I do now because way too many are all in on him. I like it to be like kind of flying under the radar. I feel like he's got that bullseye on his back a little bit too much where he might be pressing.
Yep.
Now, I think he plays well. I think he'll be in the mix. I hope so. I hope he's there on Sunday. But I think he's going to do all right. He tees off Thursday. So he tees off tomorrow, 10:42 a.m. I think that's a good thing.
Are we going to get full coverage? Like, can we watch or do I have to follow like Shot Tracker for the first like 7 holes?
Well, they don't start till 3 p.m. on ESPN. But I think you can watch online at the Masters website. You can like pick your groups, which is pretty cool.
All right.
But he's got kind of a low-key group he's playing with, Mark Leishman and Tommy Fleetwood. Like, he's going to dominate. And what I want to see is him put up a good number the first day.
That's what he needs.
So everybody else is looking at it.
Yeah,
like Justin
chasing.
Thomas, the guys who have never really competed against Tiger in his prime. I want to see how those types of guys respond if they look up
there. That's when the Tiger mystique starts to like creep into somebody's subconscious when you're looking up at him. When you like he's easy for these young guys to be on top of right now. I mean, he's easy for them to be on top of him. They're used to seeing him in this sunken place, if you will, like where it's not the real Tiger. He's kind of like but looking up at him would be a different story. And if I'm being honest, I want him to win, but I only really care if he plays well. Like, at the end of the day, he doesn't have to win. He just needs to, like,
just
steady
be there
pace.
On Sunday.
Yeah,
just be
pace.
In the mix on Sunday.
Did you guys see his press conference yesterday?
I did.
Yeah,
not.
Which part?
He was, like, talking about how he was just surprised at how good he is again. Essentially.
That's
let me just
the
sum up, like,
humble,
let me just
right,
sum
like,
up
just,
of, like, 5 minutes of
right.
just him yeah. sitting there.
So,
it was so annoying to
if
listen
you
to.
Do, if, I was just going to ask you if you change your opinion on him, and no.
If you are so inclined, you can bet on certain things at the Masters, all right? So let's see what you think. All right.
Picks and props.
Here we go. A special Masters edition on a Wednesday. Tiger hits the first fairway. He hits it, is minus 160. He misses, is plus 130. Do you think he hits it?
He's been I don't know the first place. Hole. He struggles on the first hole at the Masters.
There's a big bunker right there on the right that everybody dumps
misses.
It in.
Yeah, I think he misses the fairway.
So you guys,
on
I'm going to say
this down?
I'm going to say misses too because no. I'm going to say he hits it. I'm fading you
I hope
guys.
He pipes it.
I think he keeps like a 3-wood. I don't think he hits driver. I think he might take something else.
Think
out
he
of
goes,
the back.
You think he goes like low stinger 3-wood, or do you think he go full?
No, I think shorter controlled swing and let it run for days. Right. Does Tiger shoot any round of 66 or less? Yes or no?
Ooh, 66 or less.
That's low.
That
I'm gonna
is
say
low.
No.
Yeah, what's been the number? What's the winning number there the last couple of years? You know,
well, after you know, it's different because that's only one round.
No, I'm saying
like
what
he set the record. I think it was 20 something.
Okay, so I mean,
He could do it. Like, he's done it before. I'm sure he shot 66.
I'm
going to
say no.
Before.
I'm going to say 67s, maybe.
I'm going to say no, too.
68.
I think, will he make the cut?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
I think he does, too. That's minus 170. So not. Will Tiger withdraw? That one seems harsh.
Tiger, if you're listening, if you withdraw, I'm out.
Seriously. Me, too. I'm out on the comeback, too. You can bet on will there be a playoff? I would take no on that.
I'd say no as well.
Again, I'd love it. Will there be a hole in one in the tournament at all?
No.
You say no.
I say no.
I say yes, because they always have the greens
I want
flying,
there to be.
And some of them funnel towards the green. So the winning score of the tournament, you can bet minus 11 under par or better, 10 and under par or better. I would take 11 under or better.
I'm taking better.
Yeah, I think these guys are playing too well. Some of the odds, I have some picks. You want to know some of my
picks?
Yeah,
let's go, yeah.
So I've got these. I had some winnings, like, so I was playing with house money. So I kind of put some money out there on some guys. I had Steve Stricker, Keegan Bradley. If Jim Furyk wins, we're going to dinner as a podcast. Like, we might even go to live in South Carolina. Oh. If Jim Furyk wins,
be home by 11:40.
Or if Ted Potter Jr. wins.
Who?
Now, you might ask,
Harry
why did I
Potter
pick him?
Jr.
He's a lefty. The course. Yeah, that's how you remember. If he's playing well, you'll be like, that's the guy that Cannell bet on because I remembered him because he's Harry Potter Jr.
TPJ?
If he wins, we're going out to dinner at Club Live and going out. Prime 112.
It's just called
then
Live.
Then Live.
Oh,
it is?
It's called Live.
We're going to, people call
I don't
it
even know they
Live.
Serve dinner.
At Live?
Do they?
No. But at 11. We can go to 11.
Well, 11's 24/7 and it's closed. It's a strip club, right? 24/7?
I wouldn't say it's like a strip club.
See,
I mean,
that's why
is.
I didn't know what to describe it as.
It is, but like it's not.
It's all gravy?
Yeah.
So they just serve you to get some good food at 11. All right, what do we got next, Debo?
Hey, wait, can I ask it? Let me serious question.
Yeah.
Tiger unveil a new shoe this week or no? Because he's been playing in something relatively generic from Nike.
I think you would have already gotten the tease of it. I think it would have already been
out.
I think so. Okay. I think he comes out with a – or what if he came out with some Jordans? But he can't because he's got Nike.
He's Nike.
Which I think is crazy because the Jordans, if he came out with the old – could you see the Jordans they just put out, the threes?
Yeah, the cements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ones, golf shoes. You got some of those yet?
No, dude. Richard Hamilton.
Seriously.
Like, they don't make them in 15s. Like
well,
I can't find them.
Order.
I need Richard Hamilton – to
Let's
get on his job.
Rip.
Like he's busy with all this like
Where
players only
right
bullshit. Rip, I need my damn Jordans, bro.
He's over there in NBA London like, doing stuff internationally. Shoot.
I want right. you guys to make official picks though. Not just your long shot picks. Who do you have to win?
I'm gonna go with Tiger.
One guy.
I picked it early. I'm going Tiger. Yeah, although I would not bet it because it's dumb money.
I know he's not gonna win it, but I'm gonna say Dustin Johnson.
Ooh,
Dustin
he's going
Johnson
long.
Yeah, at 12-1. Tiger at 10-1 right now.
There we go. All right, let's do some.
Like it, love it, hate it.
First off, NFL, the Rams, they continue to just wheel and deal out there. I love it. Les Snead was a player personnel guy when I was in the Atlanta Falcons. He's a really good dude. He's one of the younger, like forward thinking NFL GMs, why he hired, one of the youngest coaches you've seen in the game. So they've been aggressive. They made another move. So they acquire Brandon Cooks and a fourth rounder from the Patriots for the 23rd overall pick plus additional sixth rounder. I think it's fantastic. I think they're kind of swinging for the fences. I know there's some polarizing guys they brought in there with Marcus Peters, who had his issues with Andy Reid. Aqib Talib has had his off-the-field stuff, too. I think if you're going this that way, like, why not? Like, swing for the fences until you get it all in.
Yeah, no middle ground there, dude. It's like the whole tanking thing. Either you're going to – like, there's no middle ground in pro sports anymore. Either you're going to try to win it,
yeah,
or you're going to get lean and just try to get the first pick. I like the fact that they're going to try to win it. They had a good young team last year, experienced some success. Give that man some weapons. Give the coach some weapons, and let's go after it.
All right, so we both love that. All right, next up.
Love it. Like it, love it, hate it.
Jim Mora, former head coach at UCLA and head coach for one Josh Rosen.
So stupid.
He's being honest.
So stupid.
He's out there giving his opinion.
Hey,
he said in an article with S Sports Illustrated that he believes Rosen is the number one quarterback in the draft. He's trying to back it up. But the team that picks him will need to, quote, challenge him. He said he needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. He's a millennial. He wants to know why. Millennials, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interest in life. If you can hold his concentration level and focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He has so much ability. He's a good kid. Like it, love it, or hate it. Jim Moore's honesty.
Hate it.
Hate it.
Like, shut your mouth.
Hate it, too.
Shut your filthy mouth.
Also, like,
I love
millennial
it.
Drop?
I love
up.
It. I love,
love it.
It.
No, bro.
Here's why.
Go ahead.
Because I think so many times we see coaches who are the current coaches, they can't be truthful because they're going to prop up. They're going to say, hey, he's the next Michael Jordan. I mean, that Dabo Sweeney said that. Maybe he's right about Deshaun Watson. But they always praise the kids like nonstop. They
it's
don't give you the truth. But it's not his job anymore. So he's not worried about recruiting or what impact he's going to have moving forward.
You took an oath, as far as I'm concerned, when you sat in my living room and convinced me to go to UCLA and play
him
for
on
you
to
like that you were going to help me become the young man that my parents want me to be. And part of that is making sure that I get drafted as high as I can get. The timing of that is in my opinion, if I'm Josh Rosen, like with the why, like his tweet with the why.
Yeah.
I think there's no reason for you to do that to me right now. Timing is terrible, coach.
Oh, if I'm Josh Rosen, I'm ticked.
Yeah.
But from an opinion standpoint.
How much did Baker Mayfield pay you? How much did Baker Mayfield's camp dump in the account?
Did he back up
like
the truck
seriously,
to
like
get
what?
Him to throw under
Come
the
on,
bus?
Man.
I do think he was thrown under the bus, but I think it's also revealing about Josh Rosen because it's what I've been saying all along. I think it should show you something that Mora isn't all in with him, and he is presenting some questions. Like, I think it's refreshing to see that. I think it does show you something about Josh Rosen. Now, Mora said they were texting and said Rosen was okay with it, but I can't imagine him being okay.
And I hear you, dude. Like, you were asked your opinion. If you want to, your reputation's on the line. So if you want another job, you got to be honest and forthright. Or if you want to be a media member, you have to say something that is like outside the box and maybe your opinion. Like, you can't just toe the line. But I just think you owe Josh Rosen more than that, if I'm being honest.
All right, next up.
Like it, love it, hate it.
So my man Herm Edwards, really good dude. I love him. He goes, takes the head job at Arizona State. I liked it a little bit, but I was rooting for him.
Was rooting?
Well, it's really, like, there have been some red flags, big red flags. His opening press conference kind of was a dud. He made a joke about Sparky or whatever their mascot was, and he screwed it up. It sounded like he didn't know what their mascot was, kind of like I did right there.
Right.
So he's been making some waves. It's been a newer philosophy. Both of his coordinators bolted. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's been going on. So the latest where he's made news is he told his Arizona State players before their fourth week of spring practice that cuts are likely coming, including to some with scholarships, if performance dictates after their April 13th spring game. Do you like it, love it, or hate it? Basically, he's taking the NFL approach, saying if you guys don't cut it, getting cut.
I hate it.
Hate it.
I do, because in the world of NCAA sports, like, I know that scholarships aren't guaranteed. I always thought that they were, honestly. When I went to school, I thought my scholarship was guaranteed for 4 years.
Me too.
I didn't realize that they were up for renewal every year. But the point is, it's not pro football or basketball where a kid has the flexibility. Like, kids don't have that kind of flexibility in college. Like, you can get a release, you can get your release blocked. Like, you could say, hey, I'm leaving FIU and I want to go play for Central Florida. And FIU can put the kibosh on that. Like, nah, you can't play for Central Florida. You got to go somewhere else. So I don't think that the program should have flexibility based on performance. Like, if you do something like wrong in terms of breaking the law or conduct detrimental, and you're just a bad citizen and whatnot, and you want to be let go for that. But just because I didn't turn out to be the five-star prospect that you thought I was, I don't think that they should be taking scholarships for that.
I hate it too. I love Herm, but this is a bad look. It's going to crush him in recruiting, because all the other coaches are going to say, hey, if you come to us, you can have 4 years. There are some conferences that by conference, because a few years ago there was a big push against this, saying, hey, we can't have just one-year deals. Yeah. You guys are losing their scholarships. There was a rule that was in place by a couple conferences where you had to give out 4 year deals. I thought the Pac-12 was one of those. Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's not the way to reach today's player. And there's going to be a lot of kickback and pushback on Herm Edwards from columnists, opinionists, saying that's not the way you treat college players. And I think it's going to end up burning them.
Hate it.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I got another one. Give me one more. Give me one more, like it, love it, or hate it.
Like it, love it, hate it.
All right, so the Patriots picked up the 23rd pick. I'm going to give you a hypothetical, like it, love it, or hate it. With the 23rd pick, the Patriots pull together an offer. They go to the Giants, and they're able to acquire Odell Beckham Jr. Like it, love it, or hate it for the Patriots.
Love it.
You do. No concerns at all about him fitting in with that Patriot way.
I'm on record as saying I don't give a damn what Odell Beckham Jr. does. Like, I want him on my football team. If I have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and I can get him a weapon to the likes of which he's really never had, except for Randy Moss for a minute, I'm going out and I'm getting it. If it costs me a 23rd pick, and what was the package?
But maybe the 23rd and a third.
Fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine. Go get Tom Brady a weapon like that. Because two firsts?
Yeah.
Next year's first.
You give that up. Like, here's the thing. I love it. But here's what I don't see the Patriots doing.
But
can you talk Odell to come in and say, hey, this is a 1 year deal. We know you're going to leave and break the bank. Why don't you come play with the best quarterback ever? We'll make a run at the Super Bowl. If we win and you go off, you're going to command so much money, it won't even matter. Cause I don't see the Patriots doing that, but can they get Odell to buy into that?
Yeah. When you presented it, it was kind of like in a vacuum, but there are a lot of variables.
Cause I love it too, just from a football standpoint.
Yeah. But I don't know that he's a long time, like, New England lifer. It seems like too hard of a job. You've spoken to it a little bit, like the way the Patriots way.
Yeah.
I think it's too hard of a job for Odell Beckham
Jr. He wants to have a little fun. Yeah. Like, mix in a personal life out there. So yeah, we'll see that. All right. There was a piece in ESPN, and it was about the 76ers chef Because apparently so you read the piece. Yeah. So apparently the Sixers, they have put food at the center of the team's daily existence.
I told you so.
Chef Cho.
This is for the Utah Jazz, Kevin O'Connor. Oh, I told you so.
Well, here we go. So what?
I told you so.
What happened? What did you tell him?
Way back in the day, I'd been other places, and the Jazz were like mired in like the 1980s, early 80s. And I told them, like, and the chefs weren't like.
This is your second stint?
My second stint. The chefs weren't in vogue across the NBA yet. But I told Kev, I was like, look, it's really hard, especially in Utah, to get food after a game. So you've got these, like, you know, these $8-10 million players, and their wives are young. So they're probably not cooking in there, but they're at the games. So they're certainly not cooking. These guys have to go get McDonald's after the game. Like, yeah. You guys, like, you're wondering why people don't come to Utah all the time. Well, there's some things that you can't sell, but something like this could be attractive. Like, other people are starting to do it. Get someone that'll cook and prepare meals and have stuff available for guys after the game. I was an ass. Like, that's just, no, I was.
That was the
like,
feedback
that's how
you
they,
got?
No, that's how
you're
I,
high maintenance.
And everything I suggested in Utah, like I was an ass. So that's fine, but why wouldn't you invest in keeping these guys putting optimal fuel in their bodies, making sure that you prolong their careers and their ability to go out and do what you ultimately pay them a buttload of money to do. It only makes sense.
If you don't have it from a team perspective, would you do it as a player?
Yeah. I mean, provided,
that's
but
what
not
saying,
every
a lot
player.
Like Brady has the chef, you know, I mean.
See, but the problem is, like, across the landscape of your team, you got people making all different sums of money. And so while Brady can afford that, like, a minimum guy probably couldn't afford it. So, like, when I played in Philly, you know, Allen Iverson, Matt Geiger, Dikembe, they could have chefs. I couldn't have a chef. Like, I was living on City Ave eating, like, Overbrook, like, you know, pizza for dinner right. And cold pizza the next night. Like, I just, you know, I didn't have anyone at home to cook for me. And so, you know, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. Today, with cutting-edge technology, the stuff we know about diets, the way it impacts performance, I think you'd be crazy not to. I think the hard part still would be for some guys that they're still going to hit McDonald's. And it's getting them to buy in to the aspect that everybody else kind of knows, but it's kind of habit. Like, we had a guy in the Giants, Tito Wooten, he would stop at McDonald's on the way to every game. Like, that was his pregame meal. And they had pregame meal at the hotel of, like, healthier options.
Yeah.
It was just kind of his thing. He'd probably been doing it since Pee Wee.
I know. So fantastic. Like, that. But the NBA is doing a good job. I can't speak to NFL, but NBA, like, when I was in Cleveland had a chef. And my favorite part, not my favorite part of the job, but one of them was just hanging out in like the cafeteria.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just to eat. Like, I liked eating the healthy stuff and seeing what he would. I talked to him about what he prepared. And, like, I enjoy talking to the guy about how he put his meals together for the team. But it was like a common place for the guys. Like, it wasn't, guys weren't around the video games and stuff. Guys would kind of be in the kitchen hanging out, watching, you know, your different sports shows and so on and so forth. Let me tell a quick
CBS
story.
Sports HQ.
Two of my favorite stories, with food. Have to do with the Charlotte Bobcats. We went to Toronto once, and, you know, we were sitting in the locker room after the game, and I used to notice that Gerald Wallace would, like, take all this food off the plane. And I was like, you know, chips and all kind of stuff. And so one day we were in the locker room, and he was, like, greasing before a game, like, eating in the locker room. And I asked him, I was like, Gerald, like, what, why are you eating so much? And, like, what, you took all that stuff? He's like, I don't eat, like, anything at the hotel in Toronto. Like, he just didn't like to eat in Canada, but he, like, seriously,
Toronto has really good cuisine too,
but he would then come and eat at the arena in Toronto. Like, he said he didn't like to eat in Canada. The other one is, and it's kind of what you just said. We got on the bus one morning and I never realized it before, but Raymond Felton, like, I look in the back and I'm like, he's got two Reese's peanut butter cups, like, so four peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
And like a Coke, and we're going to shoot around, and I'm like, Jesus Christ. I said, Raymond, what are you eating? And he was like, nah, this is what I'm eating for breakfast. And it just made me, I was like, bro, look, there are a lot of things that we could eat. Like, we could get some oatmeal, right. Like some egg, like their fruit. But it's what he ate for breakfast. And without providing these healthy options and the chefs are like almost tutors in what you should be eating.
Oh, for
like
sure.
Guys are going to do what they've done their whole life.
Yeah. No
and
doubt.
That's why he had the nickname Fat Raymond Felton for about 4 years in the NBA.
Ray is my dude, man. Ray's good people. But yeah, Ray would come to camp, and you knew that when Ray came to camp, we'd have some work to do on the body. And that's in a nutshell is why you have a chef.
Yeah.
So that they can provide guys who don't have the greatest eating habits with healthier options to help you get the most out of the investment that you've made as an owner.
No doubt. All right, let's get to our next one.
Topics.
What do you got?
We want Bama. something LeBron and his team are now saying. So Alabama football has a new series called Shop Talk. Well, last year, LeBron's uninterrupted media channel dropped a series called The Shop. The premise, them sitting in barber's chairs and just chatting. I don't know if you guys are too caught up on trademark law, but Nick Saban doesn't really care about it. The Tide are going to keep doing their show. And he said they had no idea LeBron was doing something similar.
That's
Give me
a
the
lie.
Two names. Give me the
liar,
names.
Liar, pants.
The Shop liar. And Shop Talk.
Y'all have seen LeBron's show, right? That one? What's it called?
No, that's the other one, though. Isn't it Players?
Well, this one, he like sat down with Draymond Green and they talked out
some
things.
So it's like a documentary.
Yeah, and I've seen it so many times. I feel like if you're Nick Saban, you know that exists.
Nick
right?
Saban doesn't know a lot of things exist.
Right,
like
I'm guessing he doesn't know. Office.
Or like also, who was at that meeting? Like who was at that brainstorming session and just like didn't?
But who do you
by?
Think is who do you think who would whose side do you take? Do you think Alabama should shut it down or do you think LeBron should just let him do it?
I think Alabama should shut it
shut
down.
Shut it down.
Bro.
Come
it's
up with another name.
Idea.
Do something else.
I'm going to take Alabama on this and offer an olive branch to all my Bama haters.
You are
Why
so,
not let them keep the stupid show? Like, who cares? Like, no one even knew about it until LeBron comes out with his trademark.
That is a good point. Like, who cares?
Keep it.
But
just
also,
brought more attention to it.
I'm still saying.
I want to save him from lawsuit.
Why don't they get together in the barbershop, in the shop, and hash it out?
But will it be for Alabama series or
for
uninterrupted?
That's the olive branch that Alabama's got to extend.
There you go. Next one. Master security staff handed a list of sayings that are prohibited this weekend and will get you kicked out of the tournament. Dilly Dilly featured on that list. What else?
Dilly Dilly gets you kicked out of the Masters? I no longer want to go to Augusta. It's that bad.
It is bad. It is really bad.
Dilly Dilly.
What else should be on that list that gets you kicked out? Nothing.
Booyah! Or when the guy tees off, what else do they yell?
Baba Booey.
Baba Booey. What else do they yell? There's all this, you the man, so like all that's so annoying when they yell that stuff.
So I could yell, kiss my ass, and you're not going to kick me out, but if I yell dilly dilly, I get
guessing,
kicked out?
I'm guessing that's
I think
on
if
there.
You said,
I don't know if that's on the list.
Now, is
this, that's so ridiculous.
I think, like, I don't know, maybe I could ask around, but I think if you said that, you'd also be kicked out.
Yeah, I'm guessing too.
I mean, I guess the larger point is, like, I think it should be the exercise of yelling anything if you're going to kick someone out, not necessarily specific dilly dillies.
Yeah, why
or, like,
specify? Who's that guy who yelled
mashed
potatoes?
That's not for commentators. That's everybody. Like, no, because I could see
like
a commentator like saying something stupid and
screaming it.
But no, not screaming it, but saying it. And they're really particular about words you can use in the broadcast.
If they kick Jim
like,
Nance
not,
out because he's
you know they're not
dilly
supposed
dilly.
To call them fans.
What are they supposed to call them?
Patrons.
Oh, patrons.
Like they're very specific.
Oh,
so when you're
God.
On the broadcast, you are not supposed to use certain words.
I would never
it's
be
not
hired
a,
there.
It's not a green. Like it's not a pin.
I don't
it's
want to
a,
go there either.
Like there's different words that you're not.
Maybe
to
we
say.
Can do some masters on
hey,
written rules on
I
Friday.
I want to play sometimes, so I think all the rules are great.
I would be so
keep
like
keep it exclusive.
I'd be
I'm gonna go out
so
there with
bored.
Like me and Rip Hamilton and go out there with like a whiz pack. Like bumping beats as we walk down the first fairway.
The looks you would get.
Oh my God. Like Soul Plane. You ever seen the movie Soul Plane? Yeah. We're going to Soul Plane the hell out of that place.
That's hysterical.
Do it and then tear it up.
I'm about it.
Hello.
All right. So Raja kind of gave like an interview pitch for FIU earlier that he says wasn't an interview pitch. But Ohio State linebacker Jerome Baker, an NFL draft prospect, going through the interview process right now. He says a coach asked him right when he sat down in an interview, what would you do if I punched you in the face right now? I want you guys to answer that question. I'm not – if I punched you in the face
– Well, I'd smack you down.
Dumb decision on my part. But what would you – how would you answer that?
I'd probably laugh. Like, what do you –
punched in the face?
Baker says we would square up right here. That's what he responded.
Yeah, I would probably say that.
That's what – I mean, but you – like, what would I
What's the point
say
of that question?
If a coach asked me that? Like, I'd probably laugh. I'd be like, bro, what the hell are you talking
See,
about?
See, I actually think
– But then you would be psychoanalyzed for how you answer that.
You definitely are. See, I actually – the pro, like, when
What's
you when you ask if you like other men, like, those questions I have a problem with. But this one I think is actually a pretty good way to get a glimpse at what a guy thinks. Like, you saying you would laugh. Like, I think that's a pretty good response. Like, I think coaches would want to hear somebody – keep their emotions in check.
Yeah.
Maybe not, we're going to throw down.
Like,
right. Because then you're going to get a 15-yard penalty in a game. Like, there is something they're trying
to
figure out.
Do you remember anything from your interview process?
I remember John Gruden. Like, he stood out to me. And he was not, you know, John Gruden. He was a quarterback coach in Philly at the time. And he was very intense, kind of like you see on the show. But he kept having me repeat back plays to him. Like, that's all he wanted me to do was repeat back a play.
I think that's still all he wants.
Oh, no, exactly. So what he would say, he would be like, and he didn't care if I knew what it was. He would say, all right, just say this play back to me. He'd say, ace right trip, flip it, Q hot Louis, wing and Y out. Like he'd say, now say it back to me. Or he'd say, king right trip, wing Sadie, B 234 quarterback pass, wing 7, Y 4. Like, and you'd have to just say it back.
Yeah. I could not do that.
I couldn't either. Yeah. So I was like, oh, I would get that. Like king. Yeah. Like I would remember the formation and I couldn't do it. He just kind of wanted to get your total recall.
Right.
But most of the interviews are kind of just either you're on the board drawing up plays or it's kind of get to know you. Like, hey, where'd
imagine
you
imagine if you got drafted in Philly. My childhood would be
Bobby
different.
Hoyne to look up to. I asked Bobby Hoyne to look up to.
Yeah, Doug P.
I asked the kid Rashard Vaughn. I think he plays for the Bucks right now. I actually asked him in the interview process if he had been in a fight. I had concerns about like how tough he was.
Right.
Which I think
is a fair question.
Yeah, and I profiled him and the interview process was going along and I was like, I don't know how candid he's being. Like I want to kind of get in. So I asked him if he'd been in a fight. The answer was no, and so I was out.
Because you knew he was lying?
I just felt like at some point you should have been in some kind of scrap, like
right.
if you had played. And so when he told me no and then started to reason why, I was like, yeah, I'm out.
What I think that'd be the toughest thing.
So what's
is
the perfect
BS
answer
meter.
To that?
I don't know. I would have wanted him to be like, yeah, look, man,
a guy tried me. Like, I did something.
At some
I stood
point
up for
in my life, I played competitive basketball. Like, yeah, I've gotten a scrap, but like, I don't love the fight. But like, if I got a
right.
scrap,
you know what's
scrap.
Funny is I always ask this on dates too.
Yeah.
If guys have been in fights,
do you?
No,
first
seriously.
Date you want to hear?
Yeah, exactly. What do you want to hear?
I want to hear like, yeah, but I lost. Yep. That's a good answer.
But they're like 6'8", so they probably didn't lose.
I want to hear like, yeah, but I didn't care. Or like, oh, it was one of my boys and I had to jump in. Like, I don't want to hear. Because I've been out with guys who like drink too much and just start fighting.
The angry drunk
right?
is the worst.
So
type
now
of drunk.
I've just started asking. I'm just like, yo, do you get in fights?
Are you the guy?
There you go. All right. That's a wrap for us on Wednesday. Fun show today. A lot of stuff we got to. We'll be back on Friday, hopefully reacting to a solid first round from Tiger Woods. And we'll do our 5-star Q&A on Friday as well. So make sure you leave us that review on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. And in the comment section, ask us anything. We have to answer it. And as always, follow us on Twitter and Instagram @Kennell and Bell.